welcome to Inside the Huddle, day three of our preview shows from the Mall of America. We're building up to Super Bowl 52, the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're very pleased to be joined, myself and Jeff Reinbold, by NFL royalty right from the start. A pro bowler.
I don't know about all that.
An all pro, a Super Bowl champion, two-time NFL MVP, and a member of the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Kurt Warner, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you bet. It's good to see you again.
Yeah,
on my tour, turf, right? This time, yeah. Not on yours, so it's all good.
Did you enjoy your tour of the UK when you
loved
came?
It? Yeah. Loved it. I mean, you reached out to me. We want to do another one if we can make it. So I'm already asking my wife, where can we go? Where do you want to go? Let's go do this again. But I enjoyed it. I love the people over there. I love their excitement, enthusiasm for the game.
Yeah.
We talked about it, the knowledge of the people over there. I really wasn't sure what I was going to get when I headed over there. So we had a great time, and I look forward to doing it again.
Let's talk Super Bowls. You played in three of them, and they sometimes say the stage is too big for a player. Well, your numbers were incredible. Yeah. 414 yards in the first one, you throw the game-winning touchdown. 365 yards in your second appearance. 377, you completed 72% of your passes in that game.
Yeah.
Were you not nervous at all?
I was nervous. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still just football.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have to realize is it's always nice to have something happen good for you early, and then you kind of look around and go, okay, you understand it's a bigger stage, but the field's still 100 yards long, and you know, I mean, still 60 minutes. So, you know, you got to love those moments. I mean, the great ones look forward to having the spotlight on them.
Yeah.
And play their best football or play their best whatever in those moments.
Yeah.
And I loved being there. You know, it took me so long to get there that I felt like after everything else I had been through, you know, just a Super Bowl, right?
Right.
I mean,
how
tough can it really be? And, you know, but I was so fortunate to play in three unbelievable games.
Yeah.
You know, every game came down to the end.
Right down, yeah.
It was the two best teams playing on the biggest stage and great players making great plays at critical moments. And to me, that's what the Super Bowl is all about. And every time I come, that's all I hope for, is I hope for that we can have another great game and the biggest and brightest stars can shine.
Jeff, Kurt alluded to it there about where he came from and what a journey this man had. One of the fairy tale stories. And we all kind of crossed paths in NFL Europe as well.
Yes,
back in the day.
You know what? I'll kind of go back even a little further than that. There's a guy named John Gregory, who was a legendary coach in the CFL and was actually Kurt's Arena League coach in Iowa with the Barnstormers. And he came up to Winnipeg when I was the head coach in Winnipeg, and he said to me, hey, I got a quarterback you guys might want to take a look at. He's a pretty good player, right? Well, we couldn't get Kurt, but the next time I see Kurt, I go to minicamp in St. Louis, and there he is, and I said, yeah, he's a pretty good quarterback.
Not sure I was built for the CFL. They like their guys to run a little bit more. So I found a good home in the NFL. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. What a crazy journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me is the other great part about Super Bowl, is to hear about the journeys and to hear the stories. I mean, another guy we got, Nick Foles.
Well, let's start there. Yeah, he could have a fairy tale story. He could do what you did.
Yeah, similar because, I mean, but there's two sides to it, because there was the Case Keenum story where kind of out of nowhere – you come on the scene and he had a chance to be playing in this game. And then you have a guy like Nick Foles, who in 2013 had arguably the greatest season for a quarterback. You know, when you talk about, quarterbacks or touchdowns to interceptions. And then he disappeared and everybody's like, oh my gosh, what happened to this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and you're thinking, well, we're never going to hear from him or see him again. Very much like me after I left St. Louis.
Right.
And then he kind of resurrects things here in the end of the season. And he started in the Super Bowl. And so, I mean, what an incredible story. And then there's the next chapter. And that's what I'm looking forward to is this is going to be great. I mean, I hope he has a chance to win this thing and experience that moment. But then what? You know, is this a resurgence to his career?
Yeah.
Does he get a second chapter like I got a second chapter?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm looking forward to is how moments like this really shape who we become and the stories we're able to write.
And that's, I think, a key of Super Bowl, Jeff. We're never more than one play away from a piece of NFL history.
Yes.
Always seems that way.
You know
what,
Neil? So many times, it's not the guy that starting the season you would have thought would have been that guy.
Right.
And Kurt's story, he's a backup to Trent Green in St. Louis, and we're in training camp. And Rodney Harrison comes in low, and all of a sudden Trent Green's laying on the grass, in pain, and here they turn to this NFL Europe, Arena League. I mean, the whole story, it's a phenomenal story. But then you go on, and it's the greatest show on turf. And, you know, just so who's going to be that guy this week?
Yeah, they say right place, right time as well, though. You had some good players around you there, Kurt, didn't you? I mean, that was a fantastic team, that.
Yeah, it's always key, is you got to find the right fit in the right situation for you. And I think Nick Foles will tell you the same thing, is when he was in Philly the first time, it was a good fit for him. It fit what he did. And then he, you know, gets traded, gets moved to, you know, to St. Louis and then to Kansas. And when you find a place that's not the right fit, that maybe doesn't have the talent around you, doesn't mean you can't play anymore.
Right.
You just aren't in the perfect situation. I was fortunate. It took me a long time to get there. But when I got there, I found a really, really good situation the first time out, and was able to parlay that into a pretty good career.
Let's talk about that other quarterback. He's not bad, Tom Brady. He said this week his hand's not quite where he wants it to be. It's not 100%. Should we worry?
I'm not worried. I mean, last Super Bowl I played in, I had a broken index finger. And so, I mean, it's one of those things. As long as you can grip the football and throw it where you want to, I don't know how often we're 100% at this point in time in the season anyway. So, I mean, he looked pretty good in the AFC Championship game, and he's only got to be better now. So I'm really not concerned about it. But, you know, I understand his point. I mean, you get to this point and you want to be 100%, especially when you're talking about your right arm or your right hand.
Right.
I want to have it just how I want it so I can play my best football game. But yeah, I'm not too concerned. I think he's going to be just fine.
Jeff, do we start to have the conversation about Tom Brady kind of walking away? I mean, he's going to be 40 years old and 185 days. The indications would suggest you're already shaking your head, Kurt. So, I mean, they've already suggested no by trading away Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's 40 years old and 185
days. I think it's, you know, obviously Father Time's going to get everybody. But when you're like Tom Brady and you take such impeccable care of yourself, number one, he has, other than the knee, been relatively injury-free for his career.
Yeah.
He still has, and I think this is the key thing, he still has that competitive fire.
Oh, my goodness, and every year, right?
All the great ones that I've been around, when they knew it was time, they knew it was time, right? And I think he still hungers for competition.
Kurt, you were shaking your head.
Well, trust me, you're never going to get rid of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still as competitive today as I was when I played in my first Super Bowl.
I can vouch for that when we were on tour.
Yeah, you're never going to lose.
Even the little games we were doing, you were competitive.
You're never going to lose that. And so Tom's never going to get away from that. You're never going to replace Sunday afternoons.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of, I think at this point for Tom, it's not, what else do I need to accomplish? I think it's simply just, do I want to do something else? You know, do I want to walk away and be a part of wherever my kids are at this stage? Do I want to spend a little, I mean, if it comes down to football, the way he plays the game, as you said, the way he takes care of himself, as competitive as he is, I mean, I played till I was 38 and I feel like I could still play now if I wanted to physically. And I really think that's what it's going to take with Tom Brady, is I don't think he's ever going to get to the point where he can't play. I think he's going to get to a point where he says, I don't want to do this anymore. Right. I want to move on to something else and take on a new challenge in life. But until that point comes, I don't see him slowing down, and I don't see him walking away.
So if he wins on Sunday, you would expect him back in 2018?
I do. Yeah. He's had so much success, too. I sometimes wonder when guys get competitive if they say, okay, what else can I do that nobody's ever done before? Yeah. I mean, I've already done so many different things. Well, maybe I can do something at 42 that nobody's ever done, you know, past 40, right? So, you know, you find a way to be competitive and to shoot for something else. So like I said, I really think it's going to come down to, does he just feel it's time to go do something else, to be a family guy or to take on the next challenge? If not, I fully expect him to come back, play, and play well.
You said you feel like you can still play. We had quite a few tweets from Arizona Cardinals fans asking, just maybe in the UK, just one more year, you know, now Carson's gone,
I'm looking at these contracts.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm thinking, what a great story. I mean, be 46, 47 years old.
You can do it.
But, I mean, I would be interested. I tell people, I'd like to just have one team give me a 20-minute 7-on-7 drill. Just want to see if I can go out and see things and complete passes, and then maybe we'll talk about a comeback.
Let's just wrap up with quarterbacks. Obviously, huge news this week. It's supposed to be all about the Super Bowl, but Alex Smith is sent off to the Washington Redskins, and we assume Kirk Cousins is sent off to test the market.
Right.
There's two quarterbacks, I feel, that have never been fully appreciated as much as they should have been. What do you think about how that's played out?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me because I look at both these guys, and I think you say to yourself, who are they? I mean, they've both shown that they can be very successful at this level, both shown that they can make all the throws. The one thing that you might say about both of them is that what they haven't proven is they can win at the biggest moment on the biggest stage.
Which is what it's about. Right?
Which is what
it's
about.
It's all about.
But the problem is, okay, so why do you go get Alex Smith instead of Kirk Cousins, right, who have been very much the same guy as far as what they've accomplished and how they're able to accomplish it? It was very interesting to me. But I think maybe this means Kirk Cousins hit the lottery.
That
Alex Smith is Alex Smith is off the market.
Alex is getting $71 million guaranteed.
No, that's not a bad lottery either. But he's off the market, and now you're Kirk Cousins, who's the only really accomplished quarterback that's out there, with a number of teams that want one, and the payday is going to be huge. So, I mean, he's got a chance to choose where he wants to go. He's going to get paid what he, you know, deserves to be paid, and he's going to have an opportunity to win somewhere else.
All right. I'm not going to push you for a prediction on Super Bowl Sunday.
I got a few more days till I have to do it officially on Sunday.
But you're expecting a close game?
I expect a great game. I could see either team winning this football game, and I'm not even sure I know who I'm going to pick yet. I know who I want to win, but that might not be who who I pick to win come Sunday.
You can't tease that. I've got to go to break.
No, sorry. When I see you guys in the UK, I'll tell you then.
All right, our thanks to Kurt Warner. We're going to take a quick break here from the Mall of America on Sky Sports. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Welcome back to Minneapolis and the Mall of America. We're continuing our countdown to Super Bowl 52. We've had the quarterback, but this game is all about the offensive line. So former Dallas Cowboys, Indianapolis Colts, Philadelphia Eagles offensive lineman, old friend of the show, Brian Baldinger.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you.
It's all about that, right?
Yeah. It's all about it. Your memories hasn't been completely shot yet.
Baldy, I've introduced you at so many events over the years. I can reel off the teams like that. Just like
you don't need it on the teleprompter.
No, exactly. Just tell us, obviously, as we look out and it's getting busier this week, what can we expect when the Philadelphia Eagles fans fully take over the city of Minneapolis?
Well, they will take over. They've come up on caravans. I was on a flight yesterday. It was unbelievable, Jeff. They gave me the mic, and they wanted me to lead the entire plane.
Fly, Eagle, Fly?
Fly, Eagle, Fly, E-A-G-L-E-S. I mean, I did the whole thing for them. And but everybody was in on it. Like, the flight attendants were in on it, the pilots were in on it. They were all out there.
I talked to John Spagnuolo last night, and he's coming in today, and there's two charters of just pure Eagle fans. That's got to be crazy.
Brian Baldinger doing karaoke at 30,000 feet.
that's the only song I'll do.
Money can't buy experience. Let's stick with Philadelphia. Let's tell us about the job that Doug Peterson has done with this team. Just second year as a head coach, and myself and Jeff were talking 10 years ago. He was a high school coach.
Yep.
In Louisiana, and now here he is about to take on Bill Belichick. What's he done in Philadelphia? You're still very much around that team, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm there quite a bit. I was with a bunch of the guys from the front office last night, and Jeff will understand this. Like, their locker room, Jeff, it's unbelievable. Like, they brought in Joe Douglas from the Baltimore Ravens and Andy Weidel with Howie Roseman, who's made a lot of deals, a lot of transactions.
Yeah.
But the prerequisite to join that locker room was you had to love the game of football and everything that went with it. Yeah. The sacrifice, Jeff, the studying, the practice time. So they have a 53-man roster that is as committed. There hasn't been one incident. There's no me guys there.
Right.
It is a full commitment. And when they traded for Jay Ajayi, for example, from the Miami Dolphins, I mean, you know, look, they had a starting running back that was, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, he took a back seat to it.
Jeff. Sorry, Baldy. Let's just talk Doug Peterson with you, Jeff, and then I want to talk Howie Roseman, because when you just list some of the additions there, and we can talk about what they've done in terms of the front office. But, Jeff, you knew Doug as a player.
Player in NFL, Europe.
And Brett Favre said when he was a player with the Green Bay Packers as a backup, he was pretty much like an extra coach to Brett Favre. Did you see that earlier?
Yeah, his situation was really unique because we had Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner from Miami, and then it just didn't work, so they brought Doug in halfway through the season. So he has to learn the playbook, learn his way around. He's in a foreign country, all these crazy things. But what you noticed about him when immediately was he's like this. Never too high, never too low. Extremely smart and got along with everybody right away.
Howie Roseman has added so many players. Alshon Jeffery, LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, you mentioned. Every point they've scored in this postseason, all 53 points have come from players who are new to the Eagles team this year. He was almost cast aside when Chip Kelly was in
He was.
Yes.
He was a castaway to the other side of the building.
Incredible comeback. What do you make of what he's done with this team?
He's done a really good job. You know, he really has. And it's Howie will deflect a lot of the attention to a lot of the other guys, but I mean, Patrick Robinson and Corey Graham and Chris Long and the trade for Tim Jernigan. I mean, the whole team has been fortified by guys that was the prerequisite. They love the game. They were fighting in practice yesterday going about it. But so that helps. Like, you ask, how's Doug doing it? Well, he's got a committed locker room. Yeah. Then they believe in his message. And he's a guy that, you know, Jeff will be able to test is he can think on his feet.
Yep.
Right. Like, you can get too emotional as a coach. And you get too involved with the referees. Or, like, he is able to stay within the frame of the game, make the critical decisions in real time, and not get swept up by a lot of things. And that's not easy for a second-year coach, the play caller, the offense coordinator. So, you know, and he's doing it with the backup quarterback. So all those things are testimony. And he's got a good staff. He brought in Mike Groh to be the wide receiver coach. That's probably as improved a room as there has been.
DeFilippo.
DeFilippo's been fantastic with the quarterbacks. Yeah, I mean, it's a good staff. Jeff Stoutland.
Yep. He's a good offensive line coach.
Good offensive line coach.
Built good offensive line there, haven't they? Three good offensive linemen. One of the key additions, of course, was London-born running back Jay Ajayi. We caught up with him this week during Super Bowl.
A year ago, you told Neil Reynolds when you're on a stage in London that things like this don't happen to you. What do you make of this?
Yeah, this is a dream come true. Obviously, my journey this year has been crazy, but stuck with it, stayed determined, stayed motivated, go on a great team, so I was lucky as well. And it's all working out. It's surreal, you know. Obviously, things happen along the way, you know, that you're not ready for, you're not prepared for. And, you know, I've learned in this league and in this business, you gotta roll with the punches sometimes. Sometimes some hit harder than others, but it's about having a great support system to lean on. You know, I trusted God as well, and he placed me here. And the Eagles, the best team in football, and it was just about me playing my game, staying focused, staying determined, and just, you know, having a mentality of not being denied. And here we are at the Super Bowl. You know, I was like during the championship game afterwards, just overjoyed, because here it is, the opportunity to be the greatest, to be legends, to cement a legacy. And that's all I dream about as a player, is just leaving a lasting legacy, you know, in this game. So here it is.
You enjoy the underdog's tag?
I've been an underdog my whole life, so it's nothing new for me. Yeah, not worrying about the mystique and not worrying about all the hype, because at the end of the day, we're not playing those five Super Bowl winning champion New England Patriots. We're playing this year's New England Patriots, the 2017-2018 New England Patriots. And so what we have to do is just come out here like we have, and prepare like we have, and just execute our game plan. Understand it's going to be a full quarter game, because they are resilient and they do, you know, work hard throughout the whole game to make it tough. And so that's what we're going to do. You know, we're gonna be on them, and we're not going to stop.
Yes, Jay Ajayi, been such a good part of that Eagles team. Second straight year now, over 1,000 scrimmage yards. Brian, he just gives you a spark, doesn't he? Like Marshawn Lynch kind of gave that thing to Seattle. Not on the same level, but there's always emotion with him when he runs.
Well, he does run hard, but he is a powerful guy, powerful. And, you know, he does get to top speed quickly. And, you know, his Twitter followers, he's the J-Train. Yeah. And when he gets that J-Train rolling, man, like, he's a tough guy to bring down. And what they didn't know about him was what kind of receiver he would be. And he's been a much better receiver than they thought.
He's been more of that, hasn't he, since Nick Foles came in as well?
I thought, and again, we talk a lot about coaching and how it's worked, and I think they've done a great job of integrating him right away into the offense, expanding the role that he didn't have that role in Miami.
Yeah.
And frankly, at Boise State, he didn't have that role. But also, Neil, I look at what Doug's done and those offensive coaches have done for their quarterback. When they went to the RPO game and they went to the play action, cleaned up the under coverage for him and really gave him a chance to get better.
Before we I want to get a Super Bowl pick, or at least an indication which way you're leaning. What do you make of Minneapolis? This is probably the most bizarre media center we've ever been in the shopping mall.
We're in a shopping
and
mall here.
I mean, the last time
the food court is all around, so I already had a shake burger.
Yeah. Did you?
It's dangerous. It's very dangerous.
Yeah. Offensive linemen never change.
No.
Yeah. They know where the food's at.
No, I know. I mean, so I'm happy, but we are a little cramped.
We are.
You know?
We are. But it's a long time since they had a Super Bowl. Bill Belichick wasn't a very good head coach the last time they had a Super Bowl.
Last time the Super Bowl was here, I was here. My brother played for Buffalo, and Thurman Thomas still can't find his helmet that day.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
he lost his helmet.
So Washington came up here, and they put a pretty good one on the Buffalo Bills that day.
They did, yeah. They got, well, they were getting in line to do that to the Buffalo Bills, to be fair, in the 90s. So a game we play with our guests that we have on. It's a game called Finish That Sentence. I'm going to start a sentence, you're going to finish it, all right? If the Eagles win, the city of Philadelphia will be?
It will be, it'll still stand.
Just
about. They'll try to tear it down, but it will still stand.
Barely.
City Hall will still be up.
Did you see last week when they won the NFC Championship game? It was like something out of that film, The Purge. They're all climbing up the poles. And then
what they found was they tried to grease the poles with Crisco, but that didn't work.
And then all of a sudden, the guy comes past with no shirt on, but the dog head. Like,
how about the guy that ran into the pillar chasing the train?
Yes.
Baldy, I got to ask you. Can I ask one question? You know, we talk about all of what's happened in Philadelphia, and I went there this summer to see them in their interaction with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And Neil, their facilities are unbelievable.
Yeah, no,
but when you were in Philadelphia, it was, I mean, I can't even tell you how big.
Well, we share
what it was like.
Well, we were in Veterans Stadium.
Yeah.
So that had its own personality.
In fact, that
coach over there, Brian Billick, he canceled the preseason game.
Because the turf was deemed.
Well, Siragusa said this, he said that the seams, that people could disappear inside the seams.
Don't forget you had a courthouse underneath as well, right?
We have a courthouse here.
Take the first.
We had M80s go off in the stadium on a Monday night against San Francisco. We had all of that. We had a weight room was inside the stadium.
Yeah.
And it had a leaky roof. So the players always used it as an excuse to get out of weightlifting. There was like, the roof's leaking today, coach, I ain't going. But we shared a locker room with the Phillies. So, like, the Phillies and us, we could be in there together, and there was only so many shower stalls. So we were fighting the Phillies just to get into the shower.
So, I mean, the fans were always so supportive of you, though, even if you lost, right? I mean, they're always...
Well, you know, my dad took me to my first NFL game.
Not
in
there, surely.
1969 at Franklin Field, University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we sat on the very top row. It was the Eagles and the Redskins. And I was a 9-year-old kid, 8-year-old kid. And we were on the top row, and in harmony, all 60,000 people were booing Norm Snead, the quarterback of the Eagles
now,
today.
Did they factually boo Santa Claus at a Christmas game?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Boo Santa Claus.
Claus sometimes brings cold, Jeff.
That's true.
He doesn't always bring great gifts.
You got to produce. What have you done for me lately?
If you're on his naughty list, that's what you're getting.
That's right.
Who's going to win on Sunday, and
I'm
why?
Not saying this because I'm from Philadelphia, Neil. I think... Well, here's one testimony to their team.
Yeah.
When they lost the MVP of the league in Carson Wentz, they did not collapse the way Green Bay did, the way Dallas did when they lost Rumble. They didn't. They rallied. And it's a testament to how good the team is. Yeah. The team is more than an MVP quarterback.
They lost Jason Peters as well, didn't they, Jeff, as well? They've lost
a lot. Pro Bowl left tackle. That's
Jordan Hicks, Darren Sproles. They lost a lot of guys. But
how do they win it? They beat up Tom Brady up the middle, Fletcher Cox?
I think they win in the trenches. I think the games are still decided right in there. I think they beat the Vikings really badly in the trenches. I think they can do the same thing to the Patriots. And if they do have a lead, you know, the way the Jacksonville Jaguars did in the fourth quarter, they won't surrender that lead.
I think Jay Ajayi is the key.
Yeah.
Because if they can run the ball and Jay has a great game, Foles doesn't have to do too much. Brady's standing on the sideline. You know. The best way to stop Brady is keep him on the sideline.
You can play keep away. I think Ajayi gets at least 20 touches in this game.
All right. Jeff Reinbold, Brian Baldinger.
Thank you,
we thank Kurt Warner from earlier today. We thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow from Minneapolis. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.